I am an Easter Island statue, and I did take you by the shoulder. Anyway, I'm not dreaming now, am I? No, but your dream was really quite strange, for on Easter Island, there is a statue which was sculptured a very long time ago to immortalize me and which was given my name. What are you telling me now? The simple truth, Michelle, but we will explain all that to you in good time. For now, we will try on these clothes I've brought for you. Thou handed me a richly colored robe which quite delighted me and, after a warm and perfumed bath, I dressed in the garment. A feeling of euphoria, which was totally unexpected, overwhelmed me. I mentioned it to Thou, who was waiting with a glass of milk and a little manna for me. Page 70 in book, the colors of your robe were chosen according to those of your aura, that's why you feel so good. If people on earth were able to see auras, they too could choose colors, which suit them and thereby enhance their feeling of well-being. They'd make use of color rather than aspirin. What do you mean, exactly? I'll give you an example. Do you ever remember saying of someone, "Oh, those clothes don't suit you at all. He, or she, has no taste." Yes, quite often, in fact. Well, in such cases, those people have simply chosen their clothes less skillfully than others, or mixed them less successfully. As you say in French, vagrant or clash, but more in the eyes of others than in their own. However, such people will not feel good in themselves, without realizing why. If you were to suggest it was because of the colors they were wearing, they would think you odd. You could explain that the vibrations of the colors were in discord with those of their auras, but they would be no more inclined to believe you. On your planet, people only believe in what they see or touch. And yet the aura can be seen. The aura is actually colored? Of course. The aura vibrates constantly with colors that vary. At the top of your head is a veritable bouquet of colors, where almost all the colors you know are represented. Around the head too, is a golden halo, but it is only really obvious in the most highly spiritual people and in those who have sacrificed themselves in order to help someone else. The halo resembles a golden mist, much like painters on earth depict the halos of saints and of Christ. The halos were included in their paintings because, in those times, some of the artists actually saw them. Yes, I have heard mention of that, but I love to hear it from you. The colors are all there in the aura, some shine more strongly, others are dull. People in poor health, for example, or people with bad intentions. I would like so much to see the aura. I know there are people who can see it. Many people on earth could see it and read it a very long time ago, but there are few now. Calm yourself, Michelle. You will see it, and not only one but several. Including your own. Now, though, I'll ask you to follow me, because we have so much to show you and little time available. I followed Thou, who placed my mask on my face and led the way to the flying platform we had used the day before. We took our places and immediately Thou began maneuvering the machine so that it dodged below the branches of trees. In a matter of moments, we had emerged on the beach. The sun had just risen behind the island and lit up the ocean and surrounding islands. From water level, the effect was magical. As we proceeded along the beach, I could see other docos through the foliage, nestled among flowering bushes. On the beach, the inhabitants of these dwellings bathed in transparent waters or strolled together on the sand. Apparently surprised to see our flying platform, they followed our progress as we passed. It occurred to me that this was not the usual means of transport on the island. I should mention too, although swimmers and sunbathers are always completely naked on Thaouba, those who stroll or move any significant distance, always dress to do so. On this planet, there is neither hypocrisy, exhibitionism nor false modesty. This will be explained later. It was not long before we reached the end of the island and, accelerating, Thou guided the vehicle at water level. We headed in the direction of a large island, which could be seen on the horizon. I could not help but admire the dexterity with which Thou piloted the flying machine, especially when we arrived at the shore of the island. Approaching the coast, I could recognize enormous docos, their points as usual towards the sky. I counted a group of 9, but the island was sprinkled with others, smaller and less visible amongst the vegetation. Thau took us higher and we were soon flying over what Thau called Gotra Quo Doge Doko, the city of the 9 docos. Skillfully, Thau brought us down between the docos, to a beautiful park located in their midst. In spite of my mask, I was aware that the golden mist that enveloped Thau Uba was much denser around these docos than elsewhere. Thau confirmed I was not mistaken in my perception, but she was not then able to explain the phenomenon, as they were waiting for us. She led me beneath an archway of greenery and along a path, which ran beside small ponds. Here wonderful water birds frolicked and little waterfalls murmured. I found myself almost running to keep up with Thau, but didn't like to ask her to slow down. She appeared preoccupied in a way that was not typical of her. At one point, there was almost a catastrophe when I tried to jump, as much to amuse myself as to catch up with Thau. Due to the difference in gravity, I misjudged my leap and had to catch hold of a tree, which grew right on the water's edge, to prevent myself from falling in. Eventually, we reached the central doko and stopped below the entrance light. Thau seemed to concentrate for several seconds, then she took me by the shoulder and we passed through the wall. She immediately removed my mask, advising at the same time, that I half closed my eyes, which I did. Light filtered through my lower lids and after a time, I was able to open my eyes normally. I must say, that this brightness, more golden than in my own doko, was considerably uncomfortable at first. I was most curious now, especially since Thau, who was usually very free and without protocol in her relations with everyone, seemed to have abruptly changed in her manner. Why? This doko must have been 100 meters in diameter. We headed directly, although more slowly, for the center, where 7 seats, each occupied, were arranged in a semicircle. The occupants sat as though petrified and, at first, I thought them to be statues. In looks they resembled Thau, although their hair was longer and their facial expressions more serious, giving them the air of being older. Their eyes seemed to be illuminated from within, which was somewhat disturbing. What struck me most of all, was the golden haze, even stronger here than outside, which seemed to concentrate in halos around their heads. Since the age of 15, I don't recall ever having been in awe of another person. No matter how grand a personage, no matter how important he or she was, or thought they were, I have not felt intimidated by position, neither have I had qualms about expressing my opinion to anyone. To me, the president of a nation is still just a person and it amuses me that people regard themselves as VIPs. I mention this to make it clear I am not impressed by mere status. In the doko, all that changed. When one of them raised a hand to indicate Thau and I should each take a seat facing them, I was indeed awestruck, and the word is feeble. I could not have imagined it possible that such radiant beings could exist. It was as though they were on fire inside and emitting rays from within. They sat on block-like seats, fabric-covered, with straight backs. Each seat was of a different color, some only slightly different and others vastly different from their neighbors. Their clothes too, differed in color, suiting each wearer perfectly. All of them sat in what we call on earth, the lotus position, that is, the sitting position of Buddha, with hands resting on knees. As previously mentioned, they formed a semicircle and, since there were 7 of them, I reasoned that the central figure had to be the principal one, with 3 acolytes on either side. Of course, at the time, I was too overcome to note such details. It only occurred to me later. It was the central figure who addressed me, in a voice so melodious and, at the same time, so authoritarian. I was stunned by it, particularly since he spoke in perfect French. "You are welcome among us, Michel. May the spirit assist and enlighten you." The others echoed, "May the spirit enlighten you." He began to rise gently above his seat, still in the lotus position, and floated towards me. This did not entirely surprise me since Thou had previously demonstrated this technique of levitation. I wanted to rise before this undoubtedly great and highly spiritual personage, as a measure of the infinite respect inspired in me. In trying to move, I found I couldn't, as though paralyzed in my seat. He stopped just above and in front of me, placing both his hands on my head, the thumbs joined on my forehead above my nose, opposite the pineal gland, and the fingers joined at the top of my head. It was Thou who described these details to me later, for at the time, I was overwhelmed by such a sensation that the details didn't register. During the time his hands were on my head, it seemed that my body no longer existed. A gentle warmth and delicate perfume originated within me, emanating in waves and blending with soft music that was barely audible. Suddenly, I could see amazing colors surrounding the figures opposite me and, as the leader returned slowly towards his seat, I could see a multitude of radiant colors around him, ones I had been unable to perceive before. The principal color was a mass of pale pink which enveloped the seven figures, as though in a cloud, and their movements caused that wonderful, glowing pink to encircle us also. When I had sufficiently recovered my senses to turn towards Thou, she too, was surrounded with wonderful colors, although less brilliant than those around the seven figures. You will notice that, in speaking of these great personages, I instinctively use he rather than she. In explaining this, I can only suggest that the personalities of these special beings were so strong and their bearings so imposing, that I recognized more of the masculine in them than the feminine. I mean no offense to women, my reaction was instinctive. It's a bit like imagining Methuselah as a woman. However, women or men, they had transformed me. I knew that the colors surrounding them were their auras. I was capable of seeing auras, who knew for how long, and I wondered at what I saw. The leader had resumed his seat and all eyes were fixed on me, as if they wanted to see inside me, which indeed, is what they were doing. Silence reigned for a time, which seemed interminable. I watched the varied colors of their auras vibrate and dance around them, sometimes far in the distance, and recognized the bouquet of color Thou had spoken of earlier. The golden halos, clearly defined, were almost saffron colored. It occurred to me, they could not only see my aura, but possibly read it as well. I suddenly felt quite naked before this learned assembly. The question that haunted me was, why have they brought me here? Abruptly, the leader broke the silence. As Thou has already explained to you, Michelle, you have been chosen by us to visit our planet, in order to report certain messages and to offer enlightenment on several important issues when you return to Earth. The time has come when certain events must occur. After several thousand years of darkness and savagery on the planet Earth, a so-called civilization appeared and, inevitably, technology was developed, a development which was accelerated during the last 150 years. It has been 14,500 years since a comparable level of technological advance existed on Earth. This technology, which is nothing compared with true knowledge, is nevertheless sufficiently advanced to become harmful to the human race on Earth in the very near future. Harmful, because it is only material knowledge and not spiritual knowledge. Technology should assist spiritual development, not confine people, more and more, within a materialistic world, as is happening now on your planet. To an even greater extent, your people are obsessed with a single goal, affluence. Their lives are concerned with all that the pursuit of wealth entails, envy, jealousy, hatred of those richer and contempt for those poorer. In other words, your technology, which is nothing compared with what existed on Earth more than 14,500 years ago, is dragging your civilization down, and pushing it closer and closer to moral and spiritual catastrophe. I noticed that each time this great personage spoke of materialism, his aura and those of his acolytes flashed with a dull and dirty red, as though momentarily they were in the middle of burning bushes. We, the people of Thyuba, are assigned to assist, guide and sometimes punish the inhabitants of planets under our guardianship. Fortunately, Thou had briefed me on Earth's history during our journey to Thyre Uber. Otherwise, I'd have surely fallen off my seat on hearing such a speech. I think, he resumed, that you already know what we mean by harmful to the human race. Many people on Earth believe atomic arms to be the major danger, but it is not so. The greatest danger concerns materialism. The people of your planet seek money, to some it's a means of attaining power, to others it's a means to acquire drugs, another curse, yet to others, it's a way of possessing more than their neighbors possess. If a businessman owns a large store, he then wants a second, then a third. If he commands a small empire, he wants to increase it. If an ordinary man owns a house in which he could live happily with his family, he wants a larger one or to own a second one, then a third. Why this folly? Besides, a man will die and have to abandon all he has amassed. Perhaps his children will squander his legacy and his grandchildren will live in poverty. His whole life will have been preoccupied with purely material concerns, with insufficient time allowed for matters of the spirit. Others with money turn to drugs in their endeavor to procure an artificial paradise, and these people pay more dearly than do the others. I see, he continued. I am going much too fast and you are not following me, Michel. You should be able to follow, however, since thou has already initiated your education in these matters during your voyage. I felt ashamed, almost like when reprimanded by a teacher at school, the only difference being, here I was not able to cheat by saying I had understood when it wasn't true. He could read me like an open book. He deigned to smile at me and his aura, which had been flaming like a fire, returned to its original hue. Now, once and for always, we will teach you and provide you with what you French call the key to the mystery. As you have heard, in the beginning there was the spirit alone, and he created, by his immense force, all that exists materially. He created the planets, the suns, plants, animals, with one goal in mind, to satisfy his spiritual need. This is quite logical since he is purely spirit. Already I see you are wondering why the need to create material things in order to attain spiritual fulfillment. I offer this, by way of explanation: the Creator sought spiritual experiences through a material world. I see you still have difficulty following, but you are making progress. In order to have these experiences, he wanted to embody a tiny part of his spirit in a physical entity. To do this, he called on the fourth force, the force which thou has not yet spoken of and which concerns only spirituality. In this domain, universal law also applies. You most certainly know that the pattern of the universe dictates that nine planets revolve around their sun, dash their sun, sometimes nine planets revolve around two small suns, twin star, explanation of the author on request of the editor. It is also the case that these suns revolve around a bigger sun, which is the nucleus for nine such suns, and their nine planets. So it continues, right to the center of the universe from where the explosion referred to by the English as the Big Bang originated. Needless to say, certain accidents occur and sometimes a planet will disappear in a solar system, or perhaps enter it, but later in time, the solar system will revert and base its structure again on the number nine. The fourth force had a very important role to play. It had to bring to fruition all that the spirit had imagined. It inserted thus, an infinitesimal part of the spirit in the human body. This comprises what you could call the astral body, which forms 1/9 of the essential human being and consists of 1/9 of a higher self, which is sometimes called over-self. The higher self of man is, in other words, an entity which sends 1/9 of itself into a human body, becoming the person's astral being. Other physical bodies are inhabited, similarly, by other ninths of the same higher self, and yet each part remains integral to the central entity. Central entity, it means that each of us shares a higher self with eight other people on Earth, explanation of the author on editor's request. Further, the higher self is a ninth part of a superior higher self which, in turn, is a ninth part of a more superior higher self. The process continues as far back as the source, and allows the enormous filtration of spiritual experience required by the spirit. You must not think that the higher self of the first category is insignificant in comparison with the others. It functions at a lower level, but is nevertheless extremely powerful and important. It is capable of curing illness and even resuscitating the dead. What is known on earth as spiritual healing can be achieved with the help of the higher self of the healer, without the patient being present. However, providing the patient gives permission, the competent healer can assist the patient from anywhere in the world. Author's comment. This is not an exchange of energy but exchange of information at the level of higher selves. Editor's comment. Exactly the same is said in the books from Lobsang Rampa. Ro comment. There are many instances of people, declared clinically dead, who are brought back to life in the hands of doctors who had abandoned all hope for them. What generally happens in these cases, is that the person's astral body meets with the higher self. This portion of the higher self has left the physical body during the period of death. It perceives its physical body below, and the doctors trying to resuscitate it. It can also perceive loved ones who mourn for it. In his present state, the astral body, the person will feel perfectly well, even blissful. Usually he abandons his physical body, frequently the source of much suffering, to find himself catapulted down a psychic canal, at the end of which is a wondrous light and beyond, a state of bliss. If before passing through this canal into the blissful light which is his higher self he has the least will not to die, not on his own account but for the sake of those who need him, young children for example, he will ask to return. In certain cases it will be permitted. You are in constant communication with your higher self by means of your cerebral canal. Acting as a transmitting and receiving post, it conducts special vibrations directly between your astral body and your higher self. Your higher self monitors you continually, by day and by night, and can intervene to save you from an accident. Someone, for example, who is to catch a plane, finds that the taxi breaks down on the way to the airport. A second taxi called also breaks down, just like that. Just like that? Could you really believe in such a coincidence? The plane in question crashes 30 minutes later, leaving no survivors. Another person, an old and rheumatic woman and barely able to walk, starts to cross a street. There is a loud horn blast and a screeching of tires. But this person is miraculously able to leap to safety. How is this explained? It was not yet her time to die, and so her higher self intervened. In 1/100th of a second the higher self triggered a reaction in her adrenaline glands which, for a few seconds, provided enough strength to her muscles to enable her to execute the leap which saved her life. Adrenaline released into the blood can make it possible to flee from imminent danger, or to defeat the unbeatable through anger or fear. In too strong a dose, however, adrenaline becomes a lethal poison. It isn't only the cerebral canal which is able to conduct messages between the higher self and the astral body. Another channel exists sometimes in dreams, or, I should even say, in sleep. At certain times during sleep, your higher self is able to call your astral body to itself and either communicate instructions or ideas, or to regenerate it in some way, replenishing its spiritual strength or enlightening it in regard to solutions to important problems. For this reason, it is essential your sleep is undisturbed by intrusive noise or by nightmares resulting from harmful impressions received during the day. Perhaps you will better understand the importance of your old French saying, "Night brings counsel." The physical body in which you exist at the moment is already very complex, but still, it is nothing compared with the complexity of the process of evolvement which occurs with astral bodies and higher selves. In order to allow ordinary people on your planet to understand as easily as possible, I will make my explanation in the simplest, 12, terms. Your astral body, which inhabits every normal human being, transfers to its higher self all the sensations that are experienced during a lifetime in a physical body. These sensations pass through the immense filter of 9 higher selves before arriving in the etheric ocean that surrounds the spirit. If these sensations are based essentially on materialism, the higher selves have enormous trouble filtering them, just as a water filter clogs quicker if it filters dirty water than if the water was already clear. If, through the numerous experiences you have in your life, you ensure your astral body benefits in a spiritual sense, it will acquire more and more spiritual understanding. In time, which can vary from 500 to even 15,000 of your earth years, your higher self will have nothing more to filter. This part of itself, embodied in the astral being of Michel Desmarques, will be so spiritually advanced, it will have arrived at the next stage where it will have to contend directly with the more superior higher self. We can compare this process with a 9-stage filter, intended to rid the water passing through, of 9 elements. At the end of stage 1 in the process, one will have been completely eliminated, with 8 remaining. Of course, to make this information easier to digest, I am making enormous use of imagery. This astral body then, will have completed its cycle with the higher self of the first category and will then detach itself from higher self number 1 to rejoin the higher self of the second category. The entire process will be repeated. By the same token, the astral body will be sufficiently spiritually advanced to pass to a planet of the next category, as well. I see you are not following me very well and am anxious that you will understand absolutely, all that I explain to you. In his wisdom, the Spirit, by means of the fourth force, provided for 9 categories of planets. At present, you are on the planet Thaouba, which is in the 9th category, that is, at the top of the scale. Earth is a planet of the first category and therefore at the bottom of the scale. What does this mean? The planet Earth could be likened to a kindergarten with the emphasis on teaching basic social values. A planet of the second category would then correspond with a primary school where further values are taught. In both schools, adult guidance is imperative. The third category would comprise secondary schools where a foundation of values allows exploration beyond. Next, you would go to university, where you are treated as an adult, for you would not only have attained a certain amount of knowledge, but you would also start to accept civic responsibility. This is the type of progress occurring with the 9 categories of planets. The more spiritually advanced you are, the more you will benefit, on a superior planet, by an environment and general way of life which is superior. The very way in which you procure food is much easier, which in turn, simplifies the process of organizing your way of life. The consequence is more effective spiritual development. On the higher planets, nature itself enters the stage to assist the pupil and, by the time you reach planets of the 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th category, not only is your astral body highly evolved, your physical body has also benefited from your development. We know you have already been favorably impressed by what you have seen on our planet. As you see more, you will appreciate that it is what you would call on Earth, a paradise, and yet, compared with true happiness, when you become a pure spirit, it is still nothing. I must be careful not to make this explanation too long, for you must report it word for word, changing nothing in the book that you will write. It is absolutely essential you allow no personal opinion to intrude. No, don't get anxious, Thou will help you with the details when the time comes to start writing. From this planet, it is possible either to remain in a physical body or be reunited with the Great Spirit in the ether. As these words were uttered, the aura surrounding the leader shone more brightly than ever and I was surprised to see him almost disappear in a golden mist, only to reappear a second later. You have understood that the astral body is a body which inhabits your physical body, recalling and noting all the understanding acquired during the course of its various lives. It can only be enriched spiritually, not materially. The physical body is merely a vehicle which, in most cases, we abandon when we die. I will elaborate, for I see that in most cases has confused you. By this, I mean that some of us, including all on our planet, are able to regenerate the cells of our bodies at will. Yes, you have already noticed that most of us seem to be of the same age. We are one of three planets that are the most highly evolved in this galaxy. Some of us can, and do, directly join what we call the Great Aether.